Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you think about it. When God told me this word, he spoke specifically to me in a night vision. He said, the seed of evil is going to come down and the seed of the righteous is going to rise. When he told me this, I was looking around. I saw so much evil. I thought, this is never going to happen. I would think, but I said it. I just spoke it out and I prophesied just like God said he was going to do it. And it's happening every single word. The question is like, what does it look like? What does it look like when the seed of evil is coming down? What does it look like when the seed of the righteous is going to rise? We're seeing it take place right now. We know that the Syrian, approximately half a million people have been murdered and slaughtered in Syria. And our previous president didn't even do hard anything to be able to stop that. Well, our current president, when he saw them using chemical weapons on the people in Syria, he responded to it. But first, take a look at this tragedy that has been happening. But it happened again in Syria when they used chemical weapons on their own people. Take a look.
The UN holding an emergency meeting today in the wake of a suspected gas attack in Syria. New airstrikes raining down on that same area today. The death toll from yesterday's attack now rising to 72. President Trump responding to the carnage with this statement, quote, today's chemical attack in Syria against innocent people, including women and children, is reprehensible and cannot be ignored by the civilized world. These heinous actions by the Bashar al-Assad regime are a consequence of the past administration's weakness.
Well, President Trump responded immediately. Unlike other presidents, he acted. He got out and he acted and said to his generals, you need to respond to this evil using chemical weapons on your own people, humanity, on children, on babies. As a matter of fact, as he gave this speech, simultaneously, or at least close to it, these tomahawks were going off. Take a look. This is the president's speech and America's response to what was taking place.
My fellow Americans, on Tuesday, Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad launched a horrible chemical weapons attack on innocent civilians. Using a deadly nerve agent, Assad choked out the lives of helpless men, women, and children. It was a slow and brutal death for so many. Even beautiful babies were cruelly murdered in this very barbaric attack. No child of God should ever suffer such horror. Tonight I ordered a targeted military strike on the airfield in Syria from where the chemical attack was launched. It is in this vital national security interest of the United States to prevent and deter the spread and use of deadly chemical weapons. There can be no dispute that Syria used banned chemical weapons, violated its obligations under the Chemical Weapons Convention, and ignored the urging of the UN Security Council. Years of previous attempts at changing Assad's behavior have all failed, and failed very dramatically. As a result, the refugee crisis continues to deepen, and the region continues to destabilize, threatening the United States and its allies. Tonight, I call on all civilized nations to join us in seeking to end the slaughter and bloodshed in Syria, and also to end terrorism of all kinds and all types. We ask for God's wisdom as we face the challenge of our very troubled world. We pray for the lives of the wounded and for the souls of those who have passed. And we hope that as long as America stands for justice, then peace and harmony will, in the end, prevail. Good night, and God bless America and the entire world. Thank you.
This is amazing, you know, the response. I mean, we, for so long, we saw just inactive government that wouldn't do anything when almost 500,000 people are being slaughtered and chemical weapons are being used. And we're seeing it firsthand right here. And you're hearing false reports, fake news coming out of a lot of media sources saying that, that this is not good. And what they want to do is they want to leave Syria and they want to come to America. Well, that's not true. They're very thankful. As a matter of fact, this is, his name is Kazem. He was the survivor of a previous chemical attack in 2013. And this is his response just the other day when he was talking to a CNN reporter about how they feel about what just happened. He's thanking America and thanking President Trump for acting on such evil that's taking place in their land. As a matter of fact, listen up. The reporter was thinking that she was going to hear something else, but he tells the truth and says, "What are you talking about? You weren't protesting. You were protesting earlier, but you weren't protesting when chemical weapons were being used on us." As a matter of fact, you got to hear this. They're thankful for what America did, what President Trump did. Take a look.
I woke up for some reason. I couldn't sleep. I woke up. I saw a lot of texts on my phone. I saw the news. I cried out of joy. I jumped. I thanked God. I don't know. I was overwhelmed. We've been asking for protection. We've been asking for consequences for more than 6 years. And today, for the first time, it happened. For the very first time, we see Assad held accountable just for once, held accountable for his crimes against humanity. I was overwhelmed. I felt grateful for President Trump. I felt grateful for the United States. I felt grateful for each and every person who lobbied and called and kept on talking until someone actually listened.
There are people in America, and I hear you supportive of President Trump, and so many people are, Democrats and Republicans, but there are also people over here in America who are saying, all right, so clearly President Trump is motivated by just, as we all have compassion for these just horrible images of the, you know, the, these babies who were killed. But at the same time, this is a man who, you know, doesn't want Syrians to come into this country with this refugee ban. I want to just play some sound. Hillary Clinton weighed in.
We cannot in one breath speak of protecting Syrian babies and in the next close America's doors to them.
Quickly, Qasem, how do you see that?
With all due respect, I didn't see each and every person who was demonstrating after the travel ban. I didn't see you 3 days ago when people were gassed to death, when civilians were gassed to death. I didn't see you in 2013 when 1,400 people were gassed to death. I didn't see you raising your voice against President Obama's inaction in Syria that let us refugees, that made us refugees get kicked out of Syria. If you really care about refugees, if you really care about helping us, please help us stay in our country. We don't want to come to the United States. We want to stay in our country. We want to stay in our country. With all due respect, this is hypocrisy. If you really care, help us stay in our country. We don't want to become refugees. We want to stay in our country. Help us establish safe zones. Help us stay safe in our country. And if you just give me a few seconds just to tell President Trump once again, please, sir, what you did was amazing. What you did was a powerful message of hope for a lot of people inside and outside of Syria. Please, don't stop on this. Please help Syrians stay in their country. Please establish safe zones. Please take out Assad air forces so they won't be able to commit more atrocities using traditional weapons. 500,000 people were killed with traditional weapons, just so people can know what we have suffered in the past 6 years.
So we're beginning to see what God said, the seed of evil is going to come down and the seed of the righteous is going to rise. He said this before any elections now. He told me this was going to happen, and we're watching his hand move across the land and saying, you're not going to continue to kill these babies and these children and drop chemical weapons on these people. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we're going to see more of what it looks like for the seed of evil to come down and the seed of the righteous to rise. Because you remember all the beheadings and all the things that happened with the persecutions of Christians and putting the letter N over the doors for Nazarene, and they're going to come by and crucify those Christians and force those women into sex slavery, into forced marriages, and it was just been crazy what's been going on, and it's just nobody's been stopping it. Well, guess what? It's being stopped because we're going to talk about the mother of all bombs that just got dropped in Afghanistan. This is amazing when you're looking at, you know, what does it look like when God, see, because you wondered when God spoke that word to me, you know, was, I guess it was last year, mm-hmm. and I was having to deliver that word. What does the seed of evil look like when it's coming out? What does the seed of the righteous look like when it's rising up? And everywhere I was looking, it was not righteous, and it was evil, and people were plotting evil, talking about aborting more children. Planned Parenthood was on the rise. The president wasn't supporting
the previous president.
Changing deep-seated beliefs. All these things were going on. You're going like, you know, what does this look like? And I delivered that word with fear and trembling. They were putting a new chief, Chief David Alexander, in for the city of Pensacola, the first African-American chief of police in the history of Pensacola. And he asked me to be able to come in and to bless him and to pray over the city. And that's what we did there. But God spoke to me and said, this is time to deliver that word. And you just never know. And we begin to see the awesomeness of God and what he does. And he's began to shift the world. And things are happening. And you think about this man in Syria when he's sitting there saying, listen, this is good. They're burning. I mean, this reporter, she was moved by images.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going, listen, it's people. Yeah, I saw you protesting when they were talking about the travel ban, but you aren't protesting when our skin's being burned off, when our children are dying, when our lungs are being fried from the inside by this guy named Assad that he's allowing these atrocities to take place.
500,000 people are dead in the civil war.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when the civil war first started and we were, you know, talking about 30,000 people, 50,000 people, and that was horrific. Yeah. We're at 500,000 people that are dead and this person's still in power.
And for 8 years, you know,
he's been ignored.
We were lied to because the Secretary of State, you know, he said that all the chemical weapons are out, you know, Rice.
Yes.
She said,
Susan Rice.
Susan Rice, she said all those were out. The former President Barack Obama, said all the chemical weapons are out. But we saw
that. Well, what he said was he was drawing a red line. And if it happened again, then he would take action. And he didn't.
Yeah.
He punted the football over to Russia and Moscow. And Putin said that they're gone. And they were gone.
Well, you think about that, because we talked about that on the program where, you know, so many people are talking about Russia today. I mean, I'll have more flexibility after this election, is what President Obama said, former President Obama. And then we saw the whole United Arab League come together and come to America, came to our president, former President Barack Obama, said, listen, we'll pay for this. We'll
22
pay.
Nations
we'll
in North Africa.
They said, we'll pay for this if you'll just bring in the weapons to do this. And that's the football. We were given that football, and he passed that off to Putin. He gave that. All the United Arab League, he gave that over to Putin and let him handle it. That's when you saw him come down in Syria and he began to partner with Assad. And now he's defending this whole crazy thing that's going on right there. But so we're seeing, what is the seat of evil coming down in the seat of the righteous? I'm telling you what, it makes you want to repent. Because he's dealing with it everywhere. And God forgives. I mean, that's the thing about God. If we just acknowledge it and say, God, I'm going to change my ways. And you saw James Foley, and it was a tragic thing. We hated to be able to show that on VFN TV. But our president was playing golf, you know, while his head was being cut off. And cut off, this man was an amazing man, journalist, American journalist. He was taken captive by ISIS, you know, these radical Islamic folks. And then in front of everybody on film, cut his head off. And his parents, who were fighting to get him out, the current leadership wouldn't even work with them to get it out. We had the parents talk on the program. You could even find it at VFNTV.com. We actually had the parents dedicate almost the whole program to them.
Their
hearts were just broken trying to say, you know, how much they loved their son.
And they pleaded with this administration to do something, and the administration did nothing.
It's like they didn't even think it was evil. They didn't think it was evil. And it's evil. It's evil. The crucifixion of Christians, the taking and forcing of women into sex slavery, and all the things that are taking place, and it is taking place today, and so we're seeing it dealt with. So you had Afghanistan, and you have Iraq, and how they've got these strongholds in those particular areas close to Pakistan, and of all the things that they did, now they say, listen, we're not going to use nuclear weapons, but we know where they have these tunnels dug under the ground. They got a whole bunch of tunnels that you can drive. They're so big. You can drive trucks through these tunnels. That's how big they are.
Wow.
And so one of our men, our soldiers, men and women, went out there, and one of them got killed, actually from the Gulf Coast region, that he had gotten killed because they're hiding in these tunnels. And so they backed up, and the general of that area said specifically that, you know, well, we'll bring the Moab, the mother of all bombs. But first, before I show you that, because this is, I'm telling you, this is what God said. And you can have courage in this one, even though it looks awkward and it doesn't look like things are going to happen. When God says that it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's for us to believe him. But this particular, you got to see this bomb, this particular bomb they dropped in Afghanistan. We'll be showing the bomb drop in a moment. But it's dropping on those tunnels, on those people that had the same mindset of beheading people and enslaving people and just doing ruthless things. Well, that bomb was built on the Gulf Coast of America.
Wow.
It was built right at the Air Force Base, right close to us.
Eglin.
Yeah, it is just amazing what's taking place. I want you to look first what the Moab bomb is, and then we'll show it dropping. Take a look. This is what the seat... And understand, this bomb was being built some time back, and now it's being used now. Why? Because God says the seed of the evil is coming down, and the seed of the righteous is going to rise. Let's take a look at the building of that bomb, the details of what's about to be dropped.
You're about to witness the mother of all bombs. At least, that's what the massive ordnance air blast bomb, or MOAB, has been unofficially christened by its creators.
Well, it's tremendously powerful.
This particular weapon is the largest conventional weapon ever built in the sense of the amount of explosive being carried.
As the largest ever satellite-guided, air-delivered weapon in history, the MOAB is big on firepower. This 30-foot monster weighs more than 21,000 pounds and carries close to 10 tons of H6 explosive.
When they were testing it, people actually thought they were testing small-scale nuclear devices.
Pound for pound, this is less efficient than multiple smaller detonations. But the sheer destructive force of one huge blast, plus the psychological effect of the nuclear-style mushroom cloud, is undeniable.
Drop one of these and you can take out a large amount of a target in one big explosion, one big boom. And that's what it does, and does very, very well.
The psychological impact of the MOAB evolved directly from its 15,000-pound predecessor, the Blue 82. Extensively in Vietnam, it was nicknamed the Daisy Cutter.
The Daisy Cutter's primary mission was obstacle clearing in the jungles of Vietnam for quick helipad areas. The Air Force would drop the Daisy Cutter, clear out the jungle area, helicopters could come in. And certainly a real weapon for anyone close by when it was dropped. But after that time, the Daisy Cutter evolved into more of a psychological weapon.
The MOAB was first tested in full operational mode at Eglin Air Force Base on the 11th of March, 2003, just 9 months after development began.
It comes right out of the back of a C-130, like what you see here. Basically, the ramp drops, there's a platform inside, which is a standard type of a platform. The parachute drops out the back, pulls the platform and the bomb right out the back. The bomb separates from the platform and then falls on its way.
Unlike the Daisy Cutter, the MOAB has a guidance system. During its flight of up to 3 nautical miles, GPS and internal gyroscopes guide the bomb toward the target, where it explodes just before impact.
When the fuses hit the ground, the main charge here will go off before it actually impacts the ground.
This airburst detonation vastly increases the weapon's destructive range.
What we're doing is we're maximizing the blast, the shockwave, if you will. What we're not doing is just throwing a lot of debris necessarily up out of the ground.
What happens is that an intense fireball is formed. And that's the first effect that you see in the blast, tremendous fireball. That's followed by a pressure wave.
Certainly, if they're in close proximity, the pressure wave is enough to be lethal. If they're further away, it may be hearing loss, it may be some other internal organ damage.
And so you're looking at, this is amazing, when you're looking at the seed of evil coming down, and see the righteous going to rise. Well, that's the bomb, the mother of all bombs. So that's what it was made of. Now you understand it. When you see this little short footage right here, they're taking that bomb and they said, you know what? If you're going to build those tunnels, we're going to bring the mother of all bombs. Of course, it's not called the mother of all bombs, right, on the web. But they dropped it, that same bomb. Now you can understand when you see the impact, what's going to take place. It's a mile radius, they say, when that thing lands. And it goes, these tunnels are so big that they can even drive trucks in them. That's how big these tunnels are.
Amazing.
The muzzle has them all over the place the same way. But look how they dealt with them. Take a look. You seem to be in drop. There it goes. It hits. That's a mile radius. All those tunnels crashing and caving in. I believe it was like 72 ISIS members were destroyed. A very effective way of dealing with those who have been beheading people like James Foley, beheading with these Christians and persecuting them. And it's just been tragic what's been taking place. And that was the mother of all bombs built in the glory zone on the Gulf Coast.
Amen.
You know, and we're seeing it take place.
Well, it was a definitive step that was taken because this bomb was available the entire time.
Yeah.
But it took a president that had compassion, a president that knew that he had to take action and to tell the rest of the world, U.S. policy is changing. We're no longer going to allow ISIS to run around and terrorize people and come to this country and do the same thing as well.
Well, I know a man named Kim who's probably really worried right now. Kim Jong-un.
A man named Kim, huh?
Yeah, because he's seeing all this take place around the world. He's probably never seen anything like this.
Mm-mm.
He's used to having all these diplomacy things going on. And when we get back from this break, you're going to hear firsthand. First, you're going to hear why North Korea is so important, because God spoke prophetically about literally Kim Jong-un, and if we don't deal with him, we'll have issues in America, even in Washington, D.C., if we don't deal with him, because God spoke in a prophetic night vision to Isaiah Ramos. I'm so excited we have Isaiah Ramos here with us on the program. Hey, Isaiah.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
Well, this is amazing. We're seeing what God's doing right now. But before we talk about what's taking place in North Korea, before I tell you what's taking place, what our vice president just said in South Korea, I want you to share what the Lord told you specifically about North Korea and Kim Jong-un, who's the president or the leader or the tyrant that's over North Korea. Tell us what this night vision what the Lord gave you. What did he tell you?
Well, okay, so in the dream, I'm with a couple friends, two friends. It's me, my friend, and another friend. And we're walking in this neighborhood, and we're really young. And we're just walking by this garage, and we look in the garage, and I see a TV and some papers, and it looks like they're discussing. Mm-hmm. People are discussing something, so I kind of got scared. So we all went back. So then there's two people, Kim Jong Un, who I didn't know the name at the time. I just recognized his face and his translator. So the translator looked at me, and he asked me, "Do you swear on your God that you didn't see what you just saw?" And I said, "No, I can't."
There was something they were hiding in that garage.
Yeah. So basically,
this is Kim Jong Un's interpreter, translator, telling you this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're basically just looking at him, and then they're talking. The translator and Kim Jong Un is talking, and they said, "We're going to take you, and we're going to beat you, and we're going to abuse you."
Wow. And they do that to a lot of their people. I think three or five generations they take if somebody converts to Christianity. They take three or five, maybe three generations, and put them in camps and abuse them out there. They literally abuse them in these camps for making a decision to follow Christ.
Yeah, that's horrible. But so continuing on with the dream, I'm suddenly in D.C., Washington, D.C., and I had two friends with me, and now there's only one friend with me.
So you're talking about a dream, a prophetic dream that God's given you. And all of a sudden it just shifts, and now you're in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I only have one friend with me now, so I'm thinking like they're probably taking us out one by one. Mm-hmm. So we're going into the White House, and basically everyone's just taking us, like Secret Service, everybody's just taking us around the White House and just hooking us up with equipment. And they're basically preparing for something. Something's about to happen.
Something's about to hit. Something's about to come against America.
Yeah. So we're in the front.
Sense of urgency.
Yeah, sense of urgency. You feel very, like, on edge.
Okay.
And so I look out the window, or I'm, like, look out the door, and I see a car coming up, and I immediately knew that it was Kim Jong-un.
So Kim Jong-un was at the White House, in front of the White House, in this prophetic dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we rush into this room, and then I look to see that there's former President Barack Obama was there,
and he was president at the time. And so this has got to show you what's going to happen. Okay, so you're seeing former President Barack Obama. Okay.
Yes.
But this is why he was president, so what was going to happen. Okay.
Yeah, so then my other friend wasn't there anymore, so it was just me.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at former President Barack Obama, And he looked at me with just fear all over his face. Mm-hmm. And he told me, help me, get out this place, get, help me. So I helped him out the window, and then he leaves me.
So he leaves the White House.
He leaves
out, out of a window.
Yep, he, and then he goes in a helicopter and leaves.
So all this, I mean, he's when and all this crisis is about to hit America, former President Barack Obama gets in the helicopter and flies off.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he did. When he left the White House, he got in the helicopter and he flew off the day that President Trump took over the office. That's interesting because now we're here right in the middle of this because nobody thought this was going to happen with North Korea. But right now, we have a military fleet that's going out as we speak to and sitting off the coast of North Korea. They're threatening nuclear bombs to come on Japan, upon South Korea, upon America. And China's now getting involved. Mm-hmm. And this is why we're saying this is because some people are saying that it's not that important. Kim Jong-un is not that important. God's going, he's so important. He was fixing to do something really bad to America. And our president's getting ahead of the ball, and he's dealing with it. As a matter of fact, Vice President Mike Pence was in South Korea and spoke facing North Korea and said, we are not dealing with this anymore. You know, we are going to, all these days of this craziness is over. As a matter of fact, here is his speech. He's in South Korea giving this speech saying, Kim Jong-un, it is over. Those days of doing that is over. And it's important to understand what God said prophetically. It has to be over or America is going to be in trouble. This has to be dealt with. So listen to Vice President Mike Pence.
Nowhere is that more evident than with our commitment to confront the region's most dangerous and urgent threat to peace and security, the regime in North Korea. Since 1992, the United States and our allies have stood together for a denuclearized Korean Peninsula. We hope to achieve this objective through peaceful means, but all options are on the table. Just in the past 2 weeks, the world witnessed the strength and resolve of our new president in actions taken in Syria and Afghanistan. North Korea would do well not to test his resolve or the strength of the armed forces of the United States in this region. We will continue to deploy the THAAD missile defense system as a defensive measure called for by the alliance and for the alliance. We will continue to evolve a comprehensive set of capabilities to ensure the security of South Korea. And as our Secretary of Defense made clear here in South Korea not long ago, we will defeat any attack and we will meet any use of conventional or nuclear weapons with an overwhelming and effective response.
When you understand, when God tells you prophetically what the times are like and what's taking place, and you're seeing him put in generals and put in leaders that are going to deal with this, God's saying the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise, which means you're looking at Kim Jong-un. That leadership is changing. You're looking at Syria. That leadership's changing. You're looking at America situation. That leadership is changing. But it's going to be rough. But just be thank God that the evil leaders are coming down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. Listen, we've got so much more to talk with you after this break. Isaiah, thank you for joining us and sharing that prophetic, that awesome prophetic vision about sharing what's going to happen. Because when you first shared that with me, we both were brokenhearted going, dear Lord. But now God's given us a president who's willing to put the military force behind the promise of freedom and help these folks and help us. Because going to North Korea, based on what the Lord has shared with you, helps us because it's going to end up right in the center of our country. It's so important to understand. You know, God says this in Amos chapter 3, I believe it is, where he says that he doesn't do anything unless he reveals it prophetically first. In other words, what his plans are, he tells us, maybe in a dream, maybe in a word of knowledge. And one thing that he's been doing with us is a lot of detailed dreams, a lot of other things that we know, detailed visions. Really, it's a night vision because you can think about that you're walking around in it and you're doing this stuff and you're like there.
Yeah.
When it's taking place. And when God told me specifically, he showed me that, you know, people were being treated unjustly. Mm. And there's nothing you could say. It was just unjust treatment. We've been seeing a lot of that. That no matter what right is, it's like nobody's responding to it. You know, and it's like, this is crazy. And it's like, they didn't even say it's crazy. And like the interview with the CNN reporter, with the guy from
Qassam
from Syria. He's going, this is good. And she's going, but what about Hillary? And he's like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And that's what we're seeing. And so in this vision, the Lord showed me specifically, the people were being treated that way, and this doesn't matter what you were right, it didn't matter what was wrong, they were just going to do what they were going to do. But then that's when, in this particular vision, I had to pick up this phone. When I picked the phone up, I put it up against my ear, and I heard the voice of God in the midst of all this unjust treatment. And this is what God said to me on that phone. He said, the seat of evil is going to come down, and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. In the middle of all that, I'm like, wow. And it was amazing. And I was also caught by surprise by that because of all the things that are going on. And that's what's right now. We're, you know, a lot of people are being caught by surprise. They're not used to justice. They're not used to the seed of evil losing. They're used to seeing the seed of evil rise and to be succeed and people partner with evil and seeing kings conspire against God. And our own former president seemed to partner up with people who were in contradiction to Israel, in contradiction to God, in contradiction to Christians. They said this is the Christians now are the highest persecuted faith in the world right now, with over 90,000 a year being killed.
Amazing. You know, it really is amazing. Yeah. People often ask me, you know, why does God sometimes give these prophetic visions and these prophetic dreams? You know, God wants to partner with us. You know, we are representing Him here on the earth. Right. And when He gives us these dreams, when He gives us these visions, He wants us to intercede and to pray and to change the course of history.
Right.
Oftentimes we see the manifestation of the change of history, for instance, a new president. But if we go back and rewind the tape, we get to see that it was a lot of prayer. It was, you know, believers standing in the gap. It was
The very reason why we're doing what we're doing is because God spoke it to me. He spoke it to us and that no matter what things look like, we hold on. This is what God said
What God said.
It's what He said do. When God, we were going to have our studios located in Texas, you know, right there in the northern part of Dallas. And God said, I'm going to shift things. I'm going to change things where you are. And as a matter of fact, He basically said the seed of evil is going to come down and the seed of the righteous is going to rise and authority is going to be shifted. And we saw a lot of that take place and seeing it take place. And He's going to establish a glory zone on the Gulf Coast to be able to touch the entire world. Mm. And then that's when God spoke, after speaking that to me and others, He spoke to Isaiah Kaduri in Nigeria, who heard the very same thing in the continent of Africa. And he came to the Gulf Coast and he spoke to us very specifically in the studios. And he gave that word. I said, brother, you hit it. You know that's exactly what God's going to do. And so we're seeing God shifting the whole world right now to be able to prepare us for this maybe possibly an end time move of God. Technology is increasing so rapidly. You know, will we ever come back from this control of another person? And it's amazing, you know, what God is doing. I mean, some of the things that He's shown me specifically is that, you know, if you have a business, God's going to be, one of the biggest things that has to happen in a particular nation is the economy has to shift. The government doesn't shift the economy. It's the man who builds something. It's the woman who builds something, the service that's provided. And I want to tell you right now, God is into your business and He has good plans in store for you. He's the one that's shifting these policies where these regulations are getting off of you so you can be free to activate. You got to begin to dream again for your business. You got to begin to get a vision for your business. God wants to bless your community, but He'll do it through you. He'll do it through the businesswoman, the businessman, because you will hire, you will purchase products, you'll build things, you'll produce things, you'll build things in people's houses, you'll build their houses, you'll sell their houses. You know, you'll sell clothing, retail, restaurants. One of the biggest employers of America are people who work in selling groceries or delivering you food on your table. That's one of the biggest employers. People eat because they work there.
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage you that in this shift, it's not just a political shift. It's a shift in the kingdom of God, in the business arena. So I want to, if you haven't yet went to vfnkb.org, VFN Kingdom Business, listen, we are all about that, helping you shift. Listen, they're doing their part. They're dealing with Assyria. They're dealing with the ISIS. They're dealing with North Korea. China's even coming down, wanting to somewhat possibly help out a little bit now. And so it's for us to wake up and begin to position ourselves. And it's like the offer that I talked about today on today's program. You know, you have to begin to position yourself for what God wants to do, for success.
And there's a window of time. It's just it's a small window of time.
I'm glad you said
that.
You
got to take action now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we're here, VFNKB.
Yeah.
You want to get connected because there's a place for you, and we want to help shift you into that place.
Right. And that's true. There's seven spheres of culture. We're focusing on those seven spheres, helping you in those seven spheres. Focusing primarily media and business, but you got to get involved in it. You can't People are so used to watching their phones, watching their iPads, watching their TV, watching their DVD player, but they're not doing anything.
No.
And because of the way we're built, as you can imagine, you're doing it. You can feel up, you can feel down, you can feel sad, you can feel happy, but you're still in the same lazy boy chair.
Listen,
right?
There's such an urgency right now.
Right.
When your opportunities pass, that's, you know, regret is a horrible feeling, you know. And like we just said, it's a small window. You want to take action.
Right.
And we're starting to see a lot of people wake up.
Yeah.
This is the time.
You know, one thing you can do is you can become a VFNKB partner. You can go to VFNTV.com, click on partner now, and it tells you, you know, how you can do that. It's a certain level for VFNKB. You can partner for any amount to be at one of our partners. We thank God for our partners. But VFNKB, we have an entire area there for our VFNKB partners that helps you specifically in your business. It helps you in education, helps you in government. It helps you in family. It helps you in the church, because that's one of the spheres of culture, arts and entertainment and media. And we're beginning to even do more about that. We're working, as a matter of fact, that with Fred Reddick over in Mobile. We're excited about him and Barbara and how their desires to begin to see the seven mountains, you know, and you're seeing, you can see these seven mountains right here. I don't know if you could catch them over here on the FM, but this is one thing that we're focused on. We're focused on, you know, impacting these seven mountains of culture. And we do that through VFN Kingdom Business. I think about, John, that when I was first got saved, I was a deputy sheriff. And I gave my life to the Lord during that time, and I love business, but I didn't think at first that you could be in business and be a Christian. I don't know why. I'm a brand new believer, you know, maybe business practices or something that I saw of others, but I was so excited to find out that God is in the business.
But you can be both.
Yeah. So many people are trying to think they need to get behind a podium, but really you could be behind that desk and you can touch the world. God can move much revenue through. You can bless a lot of folks. So this is very exciting. And what I want to do, I just want to pray with you. I want to pray with you right now and ask God to touch you where you are and just to activate you. Father God, Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that the seed of evil is coming down and the seed of the righteous is rising. God, we thank you that you said this, you're doing this. God, you're raising up men and women in the business area, Father God, the business arena. We pray a blessing over their business creative ideas and concepts. Lord, we pray for any liens that be gone, any taxes to be paid, Lord, and then to be free, to be able to function, to dream again over their business. God, and we pray for employees who are employed in the business place, that they'll catch the vision of that business and begin to function and say, we want to take this thing to the next level, the best service provider, the best product builder, the best in everything with excellence, God, that you can bless their businesses, God. Bless our economy, God.
Yes.
Lord, we ask for that. Lord, we ask you, Lord, end abortion in America. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.